is the Kintech Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show.
Turned it over. It's a 2-on-0. Armia ahead for Toffoli. In alone to the forehand. He scores. Second shorthanded goal of the game for the Canadians. Tyler Toffoli with his fifth goal in five periods against Vancouver. Over to Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Tries a shot, it bounces off a skate, comes in front. What a move by Armia. He scores. And just like that, it's 6-2 for the Canadians.
With the instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Sutter, left wing into the Montreal zone, made a nice move, gets to the goal and scores. What a goal by Brandon Sutter. Glove side on Jake Allen to make it 6-3.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sathya Arshaw with Craig McEwen. Canucks get walloped at home by the Montreal Canadiens. You want to grab a phone line, you can do so. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Before we bring Corey Hirsch into the conversation, C-Mac, there's no sugarcoating a performance like this.
Hey, take out the second period. This game was even 2-2 in the first.
Come on. That's okay.
That is the silver lining in all this, Seth. Come on. Sunshine in your heart. What did Igor Larionov say?
Listen, no. I have enough silver in my beard. I don't need a silver lining for you to drop here on us. But listen, it's early in the season. The season has not been lost after this performance. But that was embarrassing tonight.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm kidding around a little bit, but hey, we got to laugh about something, because if you're a Canucks fan, you're crying about this evening. Bad second period as mentioned, but where is the defense? Like, in all honesty, there is some sort of disconnect here from, because you can be damn sure the coaching staff isn't telling them to play that way. Mm-hmm. And I know there's injuries, and I know Bick and I talked about it in the intermissions about different D pairing and not, you know, having that trust perhaps, but my, oh my, where is that heart, that want, that desire to play a little defensive hockey?
They folded again. And what we saw last night, which was impressive, and Hershey, we talked about this at length last night, the Canucks took a bunch of leads, Montreal kept fighting back, but they showed some gumption, especially in that third period when Montreal took the 5-4 lead. JT Miller had a jump on my back moment, drags the team down, they tie it up, they win in a shootout. Tonight, as soon as things started going against them in that second period, they folded again, just like they did against Calgary in that first game, that second game on Monday. It's a complete lack of mental fortitude so far. Hershey? I guess we'll bring Corey Hirsch into the conversation here in a second. Sathya Arshaw with Craig McEwen. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics on Sportsnet 650. Lots of reaction to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650, and also a lot of reaction on the phone boards. Before we get Hershey connected here, let's go to Shane in Burnaby, who's on the line. Shane, thanks for calling in. You want to talk about Thatcher Demko tonight?
Yeah, thanks. And boy,
sorry, I don't think we were connected with Shane here properly. We can't hear anything. We'll put you back on hold. Yes, there you are, Hershey. There you are.
I think we're having a little bit of trouble. I'm not sure.
Hey, we're like the Canucks in the second period here. We're fumbling around. We can't get it together.
I thought you decided to fold and go home as well in the second period.
I was crying in the corner. It's tears. Oh, I couldn't hear you for a sec, but we're good. Like I said, sometimes when the microwave goes on, I forget my name too, so we're good though now.
Well,
I'm here.
Well, what do you make of that? I mean, you know, we talked about how they showed some character last game, took a lead. You know, Montreal kept fighting back. They found a way to tie it up again in the third, and they won in a shootout and gave them credit for hanging in there and doing so. In the second period tonight, they folded just like they did in Calgary when they had the lead in the first. You know, all of a sudden Calgary scores a couple of goals, Markstrom shuts the door, and they just sank. And the same thing happened tonight, yep, but a much worse result.
Well, last night for me, and I walked away from the game last night, that was fool's gold last night. Carey Price was terrible. Carey Price, you don't catch him very often like that. Defensively, the Canucks weren't any better last night. Just Carey Price was not very good. And that was, it was kind of like, yeah, we won, and everybody felt good. Yeah, we won, but they didn't play good enough defensively. They were terrible last night defensively. I've got, so I keep the chances, and I'm usually plus or minus one or two with the actual Canucks chances. And they've given up 20 plus chances against in 5 of 6 games this year. Mm-hmm. So really, realistically, a good game is between 12 and 14. A really good game is 10, where your goalie's only going to give up one or two goals. You get into the 20, 21 chances against, your goalie's not, you know, very rarely is going to bail you out. He's got to actually steal the game. Mm-hmm. And tonight was another 20. So, like, if you don't play defensively, we know this. Defense wins championship, right? It's nice to get to score points, but defense wins championships. And if the Canucks don't either implement a better defensive system, which I don't think is a problem because I know the coaches. I watch what they do. I watch what they tell the players to do, and it's not on the coaches. This is on the players to play the defensive system that's in place and to back check and to cover for your defensemen, like stuff that you're taught in Pee Wee, in minor league hockey. And instead, you've got too many guys want to cheat to the offense and get their points, and you're not going to win like that.
So, Hershey, I mean, in a normal season, you know, the Canucks might be able to catch a break and get some practice time and work on all this sort of stuff. We're in this condensed year where that isn't necessarily going to happen here for them. But I my question to you, as you said, coaches are going to draw this up, tell them what to do. And a lot of this is a want and desire, but they're pros in the National Hockey League. They know what it takes to be successful. They've seen the results. Why is this message so difficult to get through? And what exactly is it that they have to do to play better defensively and you know, not allow your goalie be hung out to dry night after night?
Well, here's the thing, C-Mac, is that they know how to play defense. Like, these guys have been taught. They've all played college. They've all won championships, been on championship teams. And in order to win, you have to know how to play defense. You can't not.
Yeah.
So they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. But when you get kind of in a system with a bunch of guys and you start cheating towards offense and you see Brock Besser cheat towards offense, and then it's like, well, Brock can do it. Then Petey cheats towards offense. And then, you know, and then it just kind of snowballs from there, right? You get guys that are – and then you get down a goal, and instead of playing defense because – you know, you get offensive chances from playing good defense. Well, now you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the goal that's going to make this game 2-2 for our team. And guess what you do? You go out there and you try and stick handle through the whole team. And you're not the guy that just made it 2-2. You just made it 3-1 for the other team because you coughed it up cheating offensively and your other players couldn't get back. So it's a mindset that you have that everybody has to buy in. It's a buy-in from your best players that they're going to back check, that they're going to cover for the defensemen, that they're not going to cheat towards getting their points and their cookies. They are going to play defense first and get their points that way. And that's how you win, you know, championship, and you get to the finals. And you look at Bergeron in Boston, right? I mean, that guy, how many points does he get every year? Like 60, 65? Mm-hmm. Good, one of the best players in the National Hockey League. And he's one of the best defensive centermen in the National Hockey League. Well, like, and he's a Stanley Cup champion. Like, that's how you win, right? Like, and it just boggles my mind that the Canucks haven't figured that out yet. They had some success in the playoffs last year because their goalies made 50 saves a night.
But what a departure from the playoffs, right, Hershey?
Yeah.
I mean, you're absolutely right. They played like a five-man unit defensively. Yeah, the Canucks had trouble moving the puck out of their own zone. They weren't transitioning as well, especially against a team like Vegas. But what was very evident was how well they defended in their own zone, how they took away lanes, how they took away sticks, how they allowed the goalie to see the puck and they cleared the front of the net. There was structure within the mayhem of them being pinned to their own zone. Now they're getting pinned, and they're losing track of what to do. Now, part of that is, of course, having some new defensemen. Nate Schmidt is still trying to figure out how to fit in on this team. You had three rookie defensemen dressed for tonight's game. But the really disappointing part here, Hershey, is it was the Canucks veterans that made a lot of these defensive mistakes. Turnovers were a big part of the goals that Montreal scored. But it was the guys you had relied upon to be reliable, to play good defense in their own zone, to show these guys how to get it done. And they were nowhere to be found tonight.
Yeah. And you know what? You're going to have some breakdowns in your own zone. That's going to happen. Rafferty gives away the first one. He's a rookie. I mean, mm-hmm. that just happens, right? I mean, you got to deal with some of those mistakes. But when you're giving up breakaway after breakaway, shorthanded, and you've got Quinn Hughes down in the corner while Tyler Myers is jumping in too as well. You know, that's not winning hockey, where you have two defensemen that are trying on the same time to score a goal. Your job, you don't get paid to score goals. You get paid to play defense. That's why you're a defenseman. You know, let your forwards score the goals. And, you know, if you want to give Quinn Hughes and then take off the governor on Quinn Hughes every once in a while, yeah. But, you know, he's got to be just as smart too and play defense. So it's a mindset. It's a wanting to do it. And it, you know why guys don't do it? Because it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's everyone loves to play offense. You should see me in beer league. I don't come past my red line because yeah. It's hard. I don't want to go in my own end. I don't want to chase somebody down for the puck, right? And that's kind of what's going on with the Canucks.
A lot of reaction on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. I will paraphrase what Jason and Kamloops says, talks about how bad the team has played, but also how a lot of these guys are playing as individuals. And, you know, we have gushed so much about Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes since they arrived as rookies and they took the league by storm, and they've given Canucks fans so much hope by their incredible talent and what they represent for the future of this organization. But right now, Pettersson looks like a shell of what we've seen the past couple of years. And Quinn Hughes looks like a guy who's trying to do too much as well. And when you get away from that team game, these individuals are trying to do individual things, or people are not working together, it's pretty easy to see how things fall apart so quickly, Hershey.
Yeah, it goes back to just exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have played team sports, right? You know, I mean, it's so much fun to play offense. It sucks to play defense, but you got to that's the only you win playing defense. And with Pettersson, he's going to go through time. Every player goes through this. Like it's, but your other player's got to pick you up, right? And that's some guys are trying to. You know, Bo Horvat's been great. Bo Horvat was great again today. But you've got too many passengers that you know don't want to play going the other way. Pettersson will get it going. We know that.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about Quinn Hughes. I'm not worried. I'm worried about the overall mentality of this team and their commitment to playing winning hockey, which is playing defense first.
Well, and that's, you know, the person that falls on is a head coach to get these guys going, right? The head coach, a coaching staff, get these guys on the same page. Phone boards are open, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650 here on a Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics. Let's go to Jason in Fort Worth, Wayne, calling in. Jason, what's going on, man? What's your thoughts on this game tonight?
Hey, I got to give you the two-for-one deal here because I was calling in last night as well. And I didn't get through. So last night, the shootout game was almost more excitement than I could take. I was like, you know, I was concentrating on one of these, you know, platformer games I'm playing, and every time I go back to the level, it's like, oh, no, go, oh, there was just excitement, you know. And tonight, it was just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was more into my game than yours, unfortunately, because the defense wasn't doing what they were supposed to. You know, the last season the Fort Wayne Comets played here, it was like this. Guys were selfish, trying to get points for themselves and cheating and doing all these things on the offensive side, and they were trying to get individual play instead of doing a five-man defensive team first, and that was what led to eight losses in a row for the Comets at one point. So I hope it doesn't happen to you guys like that this year, especially with the shortened season. But I'll tell you what, I think you guys have some real talent, and my nickname for Demko – thanks to last year's playoff, is Thatcher the Puck Snatcher. I still remember the unreal performance he put on last year. So tonight was a bad night, but I'll tell you what, top of the toast, and we'll be back Saturday, you know?
Attaboy, Jason. Hey, thanks so much for the phone call. Some positivity, some humor as well.
Hey,
top of the toast
that's what
was
we need, positivity.
Yannick Hansen.
Hey, the only thing he's snatching, though, right now are pucks out of his net, unfortunately. I'm going to not call you out, but I'm going to call you out here. You said it's the coach's responsibility to, you know, get these guys and put them right. I'm going to say it's the leader's responsibility. The coach can only give so much and get so mad and lay things out, and here's the game plan. These guys are men and pros, and they have to do it. I would like to see a JT Miller pull Pettersson aside and say, listen, bud, your points are going to come. You know, it has to, I think, come internally more than a Travis Green yelling at him, getting mad at them, because, again, I don't think...
And you know what? Travis is at the podium. We'll get back to this discussion right here on Sportsnet 650.
All right. As you can see, we've got Coach Green here now. If you have a question, please use the raise your hand function. We will start with Brendan Batchelor.
Hey, Travis, how disappointed were you with the performance from a defensive perspective tonight?
Yeah, obviously, Batch, disappointed. Very.
What do you need to do to try and limit some of the scoring chances that you were giving up tonight?
Well, we weren't just giving up scoring chances. We were giving up goals. We gift wrapped probably 4 to 5 goals. It wasn't just a game where we were hemmed in our zone the whole game. It was just giving breakaways, giving up. Like I said, in this league, if you give up chances that are gifts, you're gonna lose bad. We did that tonight.
Next up is Farhan Lalji.
Travis, I know you had a young group on the back end. Was it more a case of maybe some of your veteran players and some of the guys that you might have leaned on a little bit more to, you know, in terms of their puck management, their decision making, as opposed to the young guys?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and blame it on our young guys. I'm going to blame it on it's a team. You win and lose as a team. We didn't have a lot of good players or a lot of guys in there that can say that they played a solid game on both sides of the puck. And obviously some of the mistakes were not just turnovers, but like I said, like putting a bow on it.
Games in, you've seen each goaltender 3 times, you know, and I don't know that they're giving up soft goals, but maybe that big save that you were used to getting from Markey last year may not be as common. Where do you feel you're at with your goaltending?
Our goalies are fine.
Next up is Ian McIntyre.
Hi, Travis. I know we've spoken a lot about Elias the last several days, but
yeah,
it almost looks like he's getting a little worse, not better, but how do you explain that turnover and just how he's playing right now? We haven't really seen this before from him.
I'm not going to sit here and say because he made a turnover and they scored that his, you know, that's not dictating his whole game. I thought he took a step last night, and I don't think anyone was very good tonight.
What has surprised you the most about this start for your team?
We look a little bit immature in ways at times. I think it's, it could be that when you have a little bit of success or you win some playoff series, you come back and you forget how hard it is to win. We're not a team that has ever won easy. We grind out wins. And we've got to realize that and remember it's hard to win in the league. And, we had that mentality last year. We got to get back to that.
Next up is Thomas Drance.
Travis, considering the chances and the goals your club's surrendering and the lack of practice time, what do you do to fix this?
We'll get back to the drawing board. But you're right, there's not a lot of practice time. A lot of teaching's done through video.
And what were your thoughts on the Myers-Armia hit?
I'd have to watch it again. He's I know Mizey's not a guy that goes out there trying to hurt people. He's a tall guy. Even when he's trying to clear out the net front, a lot of times his hands get a little high just because of how high he is or how tall he is.
And with the final question is Jeff Patterson.
Travis, if you want your guys to learn from their mistakes, how do you explain a second period in a matter of days? I know you weren't happy with what happened at the Saddle Dome on Monday, and then basically a repeat, maybe worse, in the second period here tonight.
How do I explain it? Well, we didn't play well again. I don't need to explain it any more than that. We didn't play well, and like I said, we'll get back to the drawing board and continue to try to talk to our team and teach our team.
There have been issues sort of all over the ice. How concerned are you about this group?
Yeah, I'm concerned. We need to play better.
All right, thank you.
That is Canucks head coach Travis Green saying they have to play better, and also mentioned a bit of immaturity from his team. This is the Canuck Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Satyar Shah with Craig McEwen here on Sportsnet 650. You want to grab a phone line, you can do so. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. A lot of reaction, too, on the text inbox and on the phone boards. But just quickly on Travis here. He didn't want to throw anybody under the bus. He was very careful by throwing it on the entire team, not pointing out any individual. But it was interesting that he mentioned they look a bit immature.
Yeah, it's a very telling phrase.
Yeah.
As a coach. You know, you've seen before in hockey, coaches call people out. And players, for the most part, don't like to be called out in the media. So Travis is walking a fine line when he's at that podium, but you can tell the frustration. You know, the first answer, disappointed, very short. But that word of immature to me is telling, because that suggests to me it's more of the younger players being a little bit more immature. It's possibly a little more difficult for a veteran player to be immature, in the sense of, you know, they're older. That's a really different term that you wouldn't necessarily use to describe a veteran guy. So I think he's pointing out, in my opinion, some of his younger players, the stars, that they're, like Hershey said, chasing points, not playing defensively. So that's a shot at those players like Hughes and Pettersson being immature. It's not the young defensemen who went in tonight. You know, they tried to tread water as best they could in a tough situation. That is a very interesting term.
It was. And, you know, from Travis Green, you could tell from his voice how frustrated he was. It's palpable. He usually finds a way to throw cold water on things. Like, when situations like this happen, oftentimes, C-Mac, you see Travis almost go the other way, and it actually enrages a lot of fans and media.
Yeah, because he's in PR mode.
Right. Because he's like, and then, you know, because you as a fan or somebody as part of the media wants to hear frustration and anger to justify your feelings, and he's like, you know, I'm not giving you any of that ammo. He kind of gave some of that tonight. And not outright, but it was palpable just hearing his comments. We're going to get back to more of your comments. The phone boards are open. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. More of the Canuck Central postgame show continues right here on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Again, the Montreal line. Pettersson turned it over. It's a 2-on-0. Armia ahead for Toffoli. In alone to the forehead. He scores! Second shorthanded goal of the game for the Canadiens. Tyler Toffoli with his fifth goal in five periods against Vancouver.
Welcome back to the Canuck Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Craig McEwen. Canucks lose 7-3 against Tyler Toffoli's Montreal Canadiens. And like somebody texted in and said, isn't it fitting that the final score tonight was the same number as his jersey, 73-73.
Very clever. Do you know the first Montreal Canadian to wear that number?
I do not.
Brendan Gallagher.
Oh, Brendan Gallagher.
Brendan Gallagher came up and joined the Habs in 2010. He wore number 73, and Michael Ryder also wore 73. And a lot of people say that Toffoli reminds Habs fans of Michael Ryder.
Michael Ryder was a good hockey player.
Was a very good hockey player. Tyler Toffoli's a pretty damn good hockey player, Sap. Wouldn't he look nice in the Canucks colors as opposed to the red, white, and blue of Montreal?
Well, and he wanted to be here.
Yes, he did.
He wanted to stay here. And motivation is a hell of a thing, isn't it? He actually thought they were going to figure out a deal to stay. And honestly, I believe that, and I mentioned this last night too, that management had a plan, and Jim Benning himself said this numerous times to the media, we have a plan to bring back Tanev, Markstrom, and Tyler Toffoli. And then it just didn't happen. So hard feelings, perhaps. Communication may have been an issue. That may have rubbed some guys the wrong way. Regardless of what the case was, Tyler Toffoli is super motivated. And I see people texting in and saying, how about Jake Virtanen? He could have just let Jake go. And I'm going to answer that question again. I said it yesterday. I said it on TV again today. I believe that if it was up to management, if they could have kept Toffoli and let Jake go, they would have done so. But the thing with Toffoli's contract, it's more money, and it's long-term. They needed to clear more cap space to sign him. They were not allowed to use a buyout. They didn't get the green light to give out a long-term contract. They could have moved money out to keep him, and that's why he's not here. You want to blame the cap situation and the bad contract? Sure. But I don't. This was not a willful choice from the Canucks to say, we're keeping Jake over Toffoli. It was more complex than that. But if you want to blame them for the cap situation, which did not allow them to keep Toffoli, that's your prerogative. Let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. One of the most controversial things about this game was at the very end of the game, Tyler Myers blowing up Joel Armia, gets a 5-minute major in a game misconduct, most certainly going to be hearing from NHL player safety. Whether he gets suspended or not, it's probably going to necessitate some sort of a phone call. And we have Tristan in Vancouver on the line, and we'll talk about the Myers hit. Tristan, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, guys. Hope you guys are all doing well. So I was just wondering, just curious about why they didn't suspend him, and do you think this should be more time?
Thanks for the phone call, Tristan. I mean, if it was so, here's the thing: it was not a clear headshot. At least from the angles I saw, and hey, there's another angle that shows he may have caught the chin. And if he does, then well, it has to be at least one game suspension, because it was also a bit of a blindside hit. Armia's defenseless.
Yeah, that's the thing: is that the targeting coming a bit from the blind side. We've seen that suspension before. I mean, hey, Travis Green said it in his press conference. You know, Myers gets sometimes some bad looks and some bad calls because of the size difference. He's a monster. And in that hit, I'm Tyler Myers isn't a dirty player. He tries to play on the edge, and when Myers is trying to do too much and do that, that's usually when he gets himself into some trouble. That hit years ago was fine, but now that you're coming from the blind side, I worry a bit, especially with the injuries the Canucks have right now with Hamonic and Edler and Chatfield left this evening, that could be a massive blow to the back end for the weekend when they face the Habs for the final third and final time in this one. But I look at that, and it's just more of the coming from the blind side. Yeah. I believe where he hit him was fine. Chest was fine. Coming straight on, probably be all right.
Yeah, if it was straight on, and hey, Tyler Myers is a big guy. Sometimes that happens. You don't have to apologize for being bigger than a guy. You end up hitting him, he gets hurt. It's also being aware of the situation. We talk about maturity, and you're right. Travis talked about that, and we were observing the Canucks' best players, young players, Pettersson and Hughes, showing some immature body language, you know, not exactly looking like their head is where it needs to be for their level of play. Tyler Myers has to be more aware of that. Exactly what you mentioned. You have Edler out. You have Hamonic out. Jalen Chatfield, who came in and played well last night, was looking good again tonight. He's out with injury. You got to be smarter than that. You can't put yourself in a position where it's going to cost the team. Tonight, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this game was over at that point. But if Myers is out for one game, two game, if not longer than that, you're just hurting your team in a really, really bad time.
And in a shortened season. But Sat, like, think about that for a second. Those brain farts by the defenseman.
Yeah.
You have Quinn Hughes going down at Edmonton because Besser gets hit by Nugent Hopkins, taking a dumb penalty. You've got Hamonic running across the ice to protect Hughes. And tonight, Myers doing this. The intent is fine. I'm going to stick up for my guys. We're a tight team. We love each other. We're going to be tough. We're going to be the... But the timing is just absolutely
It's maturity, right?
Brutal.
I mean, Travis nailed it by saying maturity. It's not that it's a wrong thing to have the sense that you want to go and defend your teammate. It's not a bad thing to show physicality.
Pick your spots. Brian Burke this morning said on the starting lineup, 7 a.m., Cebulski and Sulkowski. Burke said, take a number. Mm-hmm. Like how many times does a guy get a penalty because he retaliates? Take a number, get that player later, and to your point, bang on, know the situation and the surroundings that you're in, that you can't do that at that point.
Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650 here on Sportsnet 650. Jerry and Delta. Jerry, you also want to talk about the Myers hit. What you got for us?
You guys may not have seen the angle exactly, but they did review it, and when I saw the hit there, I was like, and as you guys said, the timing was the biggest problem, is that the game basically was behind them. And what I'm looking forward for them anyway is I watched Ottawa play the last little while, and the way Vancouver and Ottawa are playing, they deserve each other, because right now they're both playing not very well.
Well, absolutely not good at all. Thanks for the phone call. And the saving grace in all this is – the division hasn't exactly been a hot division to start. Montreal's probably been the team that has looked the best so far, and you see why. They're structured, they're disciplined. Well, not disciplined with penalties. I mean, that team's been taking lots of penalties. Yep. But within their structure, they're very opportunistic. Claude Julien is pressing the right buttons. But it's not like anybody's really running away with this division right now.
No, and in these games here, Sat, I mean, let's be honest, Travis said it. The Canucks are gift-wrapping them goals. They're taking advantage.
Four or five goals they gave away, man.
Absolutely. But that Montreal team, three good lines. Yeah. A lot of the teams in this North Division have two good lines and then, you know, little problems on their back end with the bottom six players. And then, you know, defensively, they're solid. Goaltending tandem, very good, even though Carey Price has not been great to start the year. Mm-hmm. But Montreal is a tough piece of business right now and probably separating themselves a little bit here out of the gate. But, you know, your co-host, and I mentioned in the intermission, Andrew Walker finally made a good point. He's been here, what, 3.5 years, finally made one.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. Like, he talked about it. This isn't training camp. These games count. But there is something to be said to work through this stuff and to get your game legs and up to speed and all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. And the Canucks are definitely, you know, trying to fight through that right now.
Just going back to the phone boards, we have Stuart and North Van on the line as well. Stuart, what are your thoughts on the 7-3 loss for your Canucks this evening?
Gentlemen, I hope you're having a good evening, and thank you again for taking my call. You know, it's funny hearing Travis in the post game interview there with the media. It kind of, the first thing I thought of was, like, you remember back when you were a kid, you had to do parent teacher interviews at school. He felt like he was the kid sitting there trying to explain, like, oh, well, you know, there's this going on, and you know, the kid next to me is just really distracting, and it just felt like. I mean, what do we expect him to say, right? It's not his fault we got our, you know, butts handed to us 7-3. I mean, I look up and down the lineup, and obviously discipline has been, you know, quite showing or lack thereof in the mm-hmm. first six games, which is, you know, over 10% of the shortened season. We've got 4 points. It could have been three if the Habs beat us last night in a shootout. But, I mean... basically, you know, obviously over the next few days and weeks, I'm sure there'll be more discussion about this as it compares to last season, the playoff run. But you look at the people that the Canucks lost, you know, in Markstrom, Tanev, Stetcher. We don't even talk about Toffoli. Toffoli is literally just, he's got the sniper's crosshairs on us. He just wants right. revenge for how that all went down. But you look at the other people that we lost, you know, losing Markstrom, I know there was a factor with his age and what term and money he wanted. But in terms of, you know, now instead of Markstrom and Demko, we have Holtby and Demko. And mm-hmm. at best, that's just a lateral move. Like, can we agree that, you know, we did get better in between the pipes? And in terms of the blue line, I mean, good God, like, I'm getting real concerned now because you look at sort of the gap between who would be our top three D-men and then the people at the bottom, and it is, you know, it's galaxies in between what's happening. And I mean, some of these no trade clauses, you guys, I really do get concerned. And I mean, we've got Myers for multiple years with an NTC. You know, we've still got guys, Beagle, Sutter, NTCs. I don't get it. Like, I thought that we were done with this giving out NTCs like Halloween candy. And I just worry yeah. that, you know, we're essentially pissing away good years for EP, Besser, Brock, Hughes, Demko, like, in 3 years, are we going to be competitive? And at that point, the best years are gone. And then we're right back to where we were, what, 2015, 2016, dealing with, like, you know, kind of a changing of the guard. And then we're going to be paying, you know, Longo and Erickson until I'm 57 and bald. But I'll hang up and I'll listen to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the phone call. That's Stuart in North End. I mean, one of the things that's very evident, the Canucks don't have the depth to make up for when a guy like Pettersson is not playing his best game and Quinn Hughes is not playing his best game. And, you know, Quinn is still providing some points. It's not like he's been bad or anything. It's just he's not what we're accustomed to seeing. We see the body language of these players not be great. But the issue here, too, is there's not enough insulation for this roster, right? And we can sit here and lay blame on the best players on this team. And yeah, they haven't been good enough. We talk about the other guys. I thought Bo had a strong game again tonight. You know, JT Miller is trying to work his way back. He was fantastic last night. Tonight, not as great. Besser, I thought, was okay, but they're not getting much from the rest of the roster. And Stuart has a point. When you are paying a premium for guys in your bottom six, you are paying a premium for guys to play certain roles. Well, one guy's on outside the roster hasn't played yet. That's Louis Erickson. Look at the bottom six. Brandon Sutter scored a beautiful goal tonight, so he's not the problem, but yep. You're not getting much of a push. So I understand Stuart's frustration. it's one of those things that you get through one more year, it's going to clear up for you. You're not going to be, you know, in the same situation as 2015 because you have young talent to build around, and the cap situation will clear in a year or two. But it is a valid question that if your young guys don't take that step this season, and if these young guys don't find their game, nobody else is stepping up. I mean, Brandon Sutter's not all of a sudden going to become a foundational center. You know, Louis Erickson's not going to all of a sudden step into the lineup and score 30 goals again. But you're paying a combined $10 million for those guys, right? So that's the big thing. And that's where this frustration comes in, C-Mac, when these young players can't handle or they can't rise to the moment, there's nobody else to help them out. And that's a scary proposition.
It is, but how are they going to get there? Is they're going to have to get some opportunities and some chances to play. Mm-hmm. And it might be a bit of a rough spot this year in that regard. But, you know, the old guys are there. You know, they're doing their best. They had to overpay to bring some of these guys in because, let's be honest, at that time, not a lot of people wanted to come to Vancouver, so you had to overpay, and it's biting you up. But to your point about it freeing up next year, that it's hard when you have a step forward in the playoffs, in the mm-hmm. bubble, and then you look at this year, and we keep now kind of referencing next year. But when you look at things and the way things will clear up, that's where the opportunity is, because the successful teams need those cheaper, younger players in your bottom six, because you're going to have to pay those other ones a lot more money in your top six once their deals are finished.
Yeah, I mean, this year is not done. I mean, let me just say it. I mean, tonight was an embarrassing performance.
It's
a horrible performance, and it looks very difficult for you to see the light at this point. And I can totally understand it from a fan's perspective. It's been six very unimpressive games. The only real good game they put together was the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And that seems like ages ago at this point. Even last night, hey, we gave credit for them finding a way to win the game. And, hey, you don't boo a victory no matter how it happens. You give them credit for doing so. But it was a very unconvincing win in many, many ways. So far, I can give an opinion and say, hey, I've seen certain things that I like, that if they put it together, and I'm going to still believe in the young talent, and that Pedersen's going to figure it out, Hughes is going to get better, and that these guys will click, and Schmidt's going to actually look like the guy that we expected he would be when the Canucks traded for him this offseason. But we're projecting right now without seeing the evidence of it. And it is a bit scary from a fan looking at it and saying, well, sure, you can say all you want they're going to be better, but you haven't seen anything that's going to suggest that so far.
No, and the thing is, too, when you look at them and how they've been playing, where is that buy-in? Mm-hmm. You know, where is the not the aha moment, because they should have had that a few games ago, but where's the buy-in? When are they going to, you know, listen to their coaches, listen to Travis Green, and do the little things that are going to get them victory? Because Travis said it, this league is hard to win, and they have to remember that they won a lot of games by scratching, fighting, mm-hmm. clawing last year, and it's just not going to come, and this team is not talented enough to outscore their problems.
They're not at this point, right? I mean, they have enough talent to score a lot of goals, but they're not creating enough. That's the other thing. I mean, we can sit here and talk about you got to be better defensively, you got to do this, you got to do that. I mean,
but I still think it starts in the defense.
Well, of course,
But a lot of it builds from that, right?
Right. But tonight's game too. I mean, at one point the shots, they were being outshot 3-1.
Yeah, it was 30-10 in the third period or something. Like that.
Yeah. So it's you got to generate some. But you're right. I mean, the defense is decimated by injuries now. We'll see where Tyler Myers ends up. If he does end up getting a suspension, a lot of reactions to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. Paul says, can you guys talk about the lack of production in the bottom six? We just kind of went through that. What about you guys? Would an Erickson for a McDavid deal work out if the Canucks main, if Edmonton retains 50% of McDavid's salary? Do you think they would make that move? Obviously, it's a joke. Okay, I'm trying to deliver a deadpan, but it's a joke.
Yes.
It's not actually serious.
Yes.
Let's go back to the phone board. 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. Gary in Maple Ridge is on the line. Gary, thanks for calling in. What you got for us tonight?
Well, I was talking to your producer very briefly, and unfortunately, I lost you there for a second. What I was going to say is that I was going to talk about Tyler Myers, but enough is enough. What I wanted to talk about was, and why I want your guys' opinion about this, Pearson, Cutter, Gaudette, I go up and down the roster, they're not hitting anybody. Gaudette is running around like a chicken with his head cut off, but he isn't scoring anything other than that one goal that he got in the first game. My problem is this, is that the Vancouver Canucks are they're top heavy, and the issue that I have is this: is that if you watch a team like Washington or Tampa Bay, they have two lines that do stuff. The rest of them are muckers, and a guy by the name of Patrick Maroon was available to the Vancouver Canucks all summer, 6'4 and 235 pounds, and funny guy. He's won two Stanley Cups. Yes, right. I know he doesn't do very much, but we need some heavy – basically, we need guys that can actually not only play hockey, but – push
you
want
to see
around.
Some physicality, right, Gary? Like,
exactly.
You want to see guys get after it.
And bottom six guys aren't doing that. Sutter, I saw him during the second period, and he nudged the guy. He's doing flybys, and he's 6'3 and 190. That's not big. I know he's tall, but he's a string bean. He's just another, you know, the guy that's sitting down right now, he's another one of those. We got way too many guys that are doing nothing, and yeah. Where's Peterson these days?
You're right. Thanks for the phone call. That's Gary Maple Ridge calling him. Physicality, this always happens when the Canucks lose really badly. It comes down to, hey, physicality. It comes down to, you know, I want to see more, you know, pushback and stuff like that. And that's fair and good and everything. But the root problem of tonight's game, and, yeah, they didn't generate enough chances and enough offense overall. Power play did click and score a goal, which was positive. But it's defensive breakdowns, right? I mean, if we're looking at what's the main issue holding this team back right now, it is how loosely they're playing as a five-man unit and also how poorly that defense is defending. A lot of it is based due to injury right now and new personnel and everything, but the real issue for tonight's game was not playing like a team, not having the maturity like Travis mentioned, and you saw what happens when they are short man on the back end.
Yeah, and you know, you love your football, you love your Browns. I kind of equate it to this, and I mentioned this to Bick, is, you know, you lose a defenseman again tonight, you're already inserting a bunch of young guys. There's no confidence perhaps in the partner you're playing with, so then you start to maybe try to do too much. I mean, hey, we saw a really bad pinch by Hughes and Myers at the same time, and that's just hockey 101. One goes, the other one has to stay.
Yeah.
But, you know, in football, the O-line, when you start to get injuries and you just don't trust the guy beside you and the timing and all that, defensive pairs are kind of the same way. So now you're not only asking these young guys to come in, but you're asking them to rotate through with Myers and Schmidt. And those guys are always looking over, who do I have over on my right? Or am I on the left? Or where am I going? That isn't helping the situation. But that's where the KISS principle, or keep it simple. You know what I mean? Like, if they simplify it and just do those things, maybe they're not coughing it up as bad in those turnovers. But, you know, three breakaways shorthanded, like, come on, this is the National Hockey League. This isn't eight rinks where you or I are playing beer league with our buddies and we don't want to back check and we turn it over and we look at, like, this is the National Hockey League. I don't remember a Canucks team or a stretch of hockey where, you know, that glaring of mistakes and those opportunities have been created.
Well, you know what? In beer league, I don't back check unless I get a paycheck, so it's not happening for me. We're going to get back to more of your phone calls, 604-280-0650 or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Canucks lose 7-3 against the Montreal Canadiens. More of the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
In life, the most important question anyone could ever ask is, will you marry me?
Not. Are we alone in the universe?
Well, I...
Or how did the brain name itself?
Okay, point taken. The most important question anyone could ask when they're in love and want to be with that person forever is, will you marry me? Make sure it's a yes. With Spence Diamonds, Canada's engagement destination, with thousands of rings to choose from. Spence Diamonds, open now in Vancouver and Langley.
Welcome back to the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks Postgame Show. This is where you talk Canucks on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, it's just another thing. It's a learning experience. You know, we're six games into it, and, you know, we still have a ways to, you know, we still have things to learn and things to things to clean up. And obviously tonight wasn't good enough. We know that as a group, and we know we have to be better. And we've talked about it, and there's still a lot of hockey to be played, and we're going to be ready to go here next couple of days.
Canucks captain Bo Horvat had a strong game for himself.
Yeah, was he Captain Obvious there?
He was Captain Obvious. I mean, hey, that's kind of what you expect in a situation like this. This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Satyar Shah with Craig McEwen here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Phone boards are open, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And a lot of reaction to the text inbox. We'll try to get to as many as possible. Hold your phone line. We're going to get to you guys coming up here in a second. Some news coming in from Montreal's side of things. Habs head coach Claude Julien says that Joel Armia, the player Tyler Myers hit later in the game, which he got a five-minute major for, has a concussion. And C-Mac, you know as well as I do that the National Hockey League will look at the injury when...
Yep.
Suspending or deciding on a suspension, and a lot of questions have come into our text inbox. What further discipline do you expect to see from Tyler Myers? And not to use a cop-out answer, but it's going to depend on how badly Joel Armia is hurt. Because if Armia is out for any significant period of time with this concussion, and concussions can be very unpredictable, you're probably looking at least a couple of games here.
No, for sure, and that's the difficult thing is we don't know how he's going to feel tomorrow or the next day or if he's out for the weekend. And the league doesn't necessarily put it in writing that this is exactly what we do, but that is how they're going to judge that hit by Myers. And again, you know, the timing of it you just have to question not the thought, because I believe in his heart of hearts he's just trying to make a hit. He's maybe trying to send a message for the third and final game like you would in a playoff series, and he gets him the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And while it's not Rome in the Stanley Cup final, it's you know, sort of the same idea that the league could come down. And think about it. What is a suspension in the shortened season? Like, what's the length? Because it's so punitive when you miss just a couple of games. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really going to be interesting to see how the league handles this. And to your point, they will look at that injury.
Now, if Armia did not have a concussion and Myers got a five-minute major and a game misconduct, sometimes the league looks at that and says, well, the correct call was made on the ice. That player was penalized sufficiently. We're going to move on and not, you know,
yeah,
levy any further supplemental discipline. In this situation, I'd be surprised if Myers doesn't get something here because
for sure
of that hit. So to answer the question, we won't know until tomorrow or the next day, but certainly expect the league to speak to Tyler Myers. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650 here on Sportsnet 650. Jason in Surrey is on the line. Jason, thanks for hanging in there, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, hey, guys. Just a couple comments. The first one I want to make is, like, you know, if Travis Green... I don't blame him, because I understand, like, Edler and Hamonic were injured, but, like, I mean, if you knew that, you should have gone back to Braden Holtby. There's no way you should be playing three rookie defensemen and then playing Thatcher Demko on top of that. Like, there's no way you have a goalie who's trying to find himself, trying to get some confidence in himself, you know, who's doesn't really seem like where he was in the playoffs last year. There's no way you can play three rookie defensemen in front of him. And I get it. Like I said, Hamonic and Ed, they're injured. I get it. You don't really have any options at this point. If that's the case, then go back to Holtby. Like, you need stability somewhere. If it's not a net, it's got to be on the back end. And clearly there's no stability on the back end at this point. So ride Holtby at this point. There's no harm in that. Like, if the Canucks lose, like which I kind of expected they were going to lose tonight, especially at playing all the young kids that they were going to, that's fine, but you just don't want to get shelled every night and then have everybody in your team, especially a bunch of young kids, be really upset about it. And, you know, like, they're young. Like, they need confidence. And if they're going to get shelled like this on a nightly basis, you might as well just play Holtby and not let Thatcher Demko take that kind of abuse either. That's all I'm going to say, guys.
So do you think that there were saves that Demko didn't make that Holtby would have made on this evening? Because, I mean... Demko, I don't care who was in net tonight, whether it was Roberto Luongo in his prime. I mean, goalie was hung out to dry time and time again. Like, you're expecting that Holtby would have had a better result than what Demko had?
He dropped the line, but I'm kind of with you on this one here, C-Mac. Thatcher Demko is going to have to figure things out in the NHL anyways. I mean, the National Hockey League is a tough league. It does not care. You know how nature is indifferent to you? That's kind of the way the National Hockey League is. And if you can't coddle your backup goalie, especially a guy you're trying to figure out if he can be your guy long-term. And I understand Jason's point in terms of, okay, you know, you have three young defensemen. You're trying to protect your young goalie as well. But you also have to think big picture. And throwing Braden Holtby back-to-back nights is not a wise decision, especially in a situation. And Thatcher Demko, he wasn't bad tonight by any means, but we're not at a situation where we have to coddle Demko. I think we have to figure out what Demko is, and you got to test to see if he's capable in these situations.
For sure. And I would argue that if Holtby had a great game the night before and the Canucks won, you know, 5-1 and he was stellar, then you have the argument to put him back in. But, you know, Holtby, again, too, outside of maybe one goal last night, you know, he was beat four times on some quality chances, and that's the issue here. I don't believe it's necessarily the goaltenders not making the big saves when they have to, because some of those opportunities that are being presented, I don't care who's in net, they're not going to stop them.
A lot of reaction to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. I wish I could get to all your texts. We'll try to get to as many as possible. Thanks for sending them in. Tracy asks, I wonder if we'll see Jack Rathbone if 57 is suspended. That's Tyler Myers. We're close to seeing Jack Rathbone, I think. Yeah. And at this point, you look at what happened with the injuries, who went out of the lineup. It made sense for Rafferty to come in, especially playing the right side. He had a bit of a tough night in his own end. I do think we are going to see Jack Rathbone at some point. But he's also a rookie defenseman. We're talking about a guy
You might have to go to Jordy Benn here.
And we'll see. Now that comes down to see, you know,
and how fit he is.
But I think we could see a situation where not only Jordy Benn draws in, somebody else draws in. Because, I mean, hey, if Chatfield is out and Myers gets suspended, that's two spots that open up all of a sudden.
And you're already missing two other guys.
Exactly.
So that's four defensemen.
That's four guys who are done. So we're getting close to seeing Jack Rathbone. And, you know, I had to tease a couple of nights ago where I said, Jack Rathbone, at some point this season, you're going to see him. You're probably going to like him. He's a bit of a wild card in terms of giving you some depth. It might be too soon to break the break in case of emergency situation here. But, Tracy, to answer your question, it won't be too long before you see Jack Rathbone.
They don't really have any other options.
No, they really don't. I mean, you're seeing Guillaume Brisebois. You know, it's not exactly moving the meter for you, right? And Jack Rathbone, I'll play him through training camp. I don't know if the Canucks wanted to bring him into the lineup this quickly, but if Chatfield can't go and Myers gets suspended, I don't think they have much of a choice.
No, totally agree.
A lot of reaction on a text inbox. Let's go back to the phone boards as well. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to Jason in Kamloops, who's on the line. Jason, thanks for calling in, man. What you got for us?
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of selfish play, and I get that, you know, Pettersson and Hughes are young, and this is showing their maturity in which, you know, they get more attention paid to them and things like that, but I've seen a lot of selfish play from them, and, you know, I think Holtby needs to be the guy, and Demko is still a backup. I love Demko. I love Canucks. I love Hughes. I think, you know, but there's too much pressure being put on the young guys. And the older guys need to step up here, too, to shelter them, you know, in all fairness to the Canucks. I mean, but this is, you know, I don't know why Demko wasn't pulled earlier. I mean, to protect him from the shellacking and stuff. I mean, good. It was pretty hardcore. So,
yeah. I don't know. Thanks. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, I think in this situation when you have this many games in short order. The Canucks don't have a two-day break between games until February 8th. Like between, I think, February 9th and 10th, they have 2 days between, and they play the third game. They don't have a three-day break until the end of next month, heading into March. There isn't a lot of time for guys to catch their breath. And if you're pulling Thatcher Demko tonight and throwing Braden Holtby into the game tonight, then can you even start Braden Holtby then on Saturday against
Probably
the Habs
not.
Again?
No.
Unfortunately, and listen, I'm here for criticism about certain players, even coaching decisions and all that sort of stuff. As far as the goalies are concerned, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place this season. And if you go back to Holtby and pull Demko, that means you got to go back to Holtby again on Saturday. I don't know how much differently you could have played the goalie card. And had the defense not crumbled the way they crumbled tonight, we probably wouldn't be talking about the goalies the way we are.
No, we wouldn't. And that's, you know, if you want to debate whether Holtby should be the starter, that's another conversation. But again, whoever's in net for this hockey team right at the moment, I really feel for them because they are being exposed in the sense of the other opportunities are just so good. Yeah. And it's not their bad play. It's just that I don't know that anyone stops that.
Well, and, you know, to the other point that he made too, the veterans are now really insulating the young guys. Now, the top-end veterans are. Bo Horvat's a captain. He's a veteran on this team now. JT Miller, he's a veteran. He's doing his part. But going back to the rest of the roster, you're really not getting a lot of insulation, right? So we can sit here and blame a lot of these young guys, but they need other players to step up. And the other point that you made earlier, C-Mac, and I think it's a really good point. We can talk about coaching staff all we want. You got to get the players involved. You got to make sure the players are on top of their game and all that sort of stuff. But there also has to be that internal push. There also has to be the internal leadership group coming together and getting these guys back on track and, you know, planting the flag and saying, this is the end of it. We're not letting this happen again. And you're paying a premium for guys like Beagle, Antoine Roussel, Brandon Sutter. So if they're not providing anything on the ice, because Antoine Roussel, God love his personality, but I think he forgot to play hockey somewhere along the way, right? I mean, this is not the same guy we saw 2 years ago. Even during the playoffs last year, he wasn't all that good. And hey, he tore his ACL. It was a tough year. And he talked about how, you know, he didn't get a lot of time to work on his game. He was just rehabbing. He was a step slow the whole time. Fine. Okay, let's give that a bit of a pass. Is he even playing right now? Because I don't see a guy skating. I don't see a guy working hard. I don't see a guy getting anything done, right? If he's taking bad penalties, maybe that's what he's doing half the time. But is he providing any leadership? At least bring me that. Like, I want to see character from this team. Those veterans, if you can't score, at least show some character. Show that you're important in the room. And right now, they look like a disjointed bunch on the ice.
You know, it's interesting. I remember Trevor Linden late in his career, and Trevor and I had a really good conversation one day just in the locker room hanging out, and we were just chatting, catching up, and I asked him how it was playing. You're not a frontline player anymore. You're not, you know, the guy that they go to when you need the big goal or anything more. And Linden's comment to me, it was quite telling. He said, listen, the hardest thing for him is that, not that he'd lost the room, but he said it was very hard for him at times to step up and say something on the leadership side when he wasn't necessarily getting it done. So that's the balance. Like, a Roussel can say something, but the guy's looking down and go, well, what have you done for us lately? Like, that's the fine line. But to your point, they have four or five of those guys won a cup. You know, like the Sutter, who's been through the wars. Yes, they need to be the ones to give that internal speech or help them out. But sometimes the young players look at him and go, like, man, you're not cutting it, so why am I listening to you? If JT or Bo says something to me, I'm going to listen. So that's the dynamic sometimes within the room. And it was really telling when Linden said that to me, that he had been such a forefront and a leader for so long that he's like, yeah, I got a voice, but it's not the voice I had before.
It's a fair point, right? Because we see that happen all the time. Now, the thing I will say here in this situation is, paychecks matter too in rooms.
Yep.
And guys that collect big paychecks still carry some sway. Now, it's hard to do that when you're healthy scratch, you know, like, say, Louis, for instance, but the other guy's playing. You know, it's provide something. Everybody's got to do something now, right?
Yep.
And this is where the leadership of this team has to step up internally. This is where the young guys have to show some more maturity in how they handle these situations, and when the coaching staff has to push the right buttons. I mean, that's the situation the Canucks find themselves in. Now 2-4 on the season. Season is not sunk. It's not lost. But through these six games that we have seen so far, we're piecing together positives. We're not giving even a positive take on a swath of games or an entire game. I mean, the best game they played was the first game of the season. And since then, you know, it's hard to look at this team and say they're doing things that are positive and they're showing signs of breaking out of this. Because right now it doesn't look like it. And you know what it's like too, C-Mac, that you have to start playing better before you start winning hockey games. And sometimes when you're on a bad stretch, you play a few good games, you lose them, and you eventually turn the corner and win hockey games. They're not even at the stage yet where they're playing good hockey. So in terms of starting to get on a roll here, you got to start playing good hockey first, and that hasn't happened yet.
And that, I think, comes down to the devils in the details. They talk about that. Mm-hmm. They need to be detailed. They need to be focused. They need to follow a game plan, and they really need to keep it simple. Because to your point, they played one good game. They played one good period in Calgary. They won the other night, even though it was a bit of a, oh, boy, we almost lost that one. They have not shown that they're ready to turn the corner yet, and you made a very astute comment there, because how many times it happened that they turn it and they're like, oh, bad bounce, we just didn't get that one, and then they go on the roll. Mm-hmm. Man, I haven't seen that turn yet either.
And that has to happen. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650 here on the Canuck Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics on Sportsnet 650. Let's go to George in Port Moody. George, thanks for calling in, man. What are your thoughts after the 7-3 Canucks loss this evening?
Well, I mean, like, you know, we first got to start with, you know, I got to ask Walker about this one. You know, what do you
Walker's
think
not here you're tonight. Walker is off tonight. So it's me, Sat, and C-Mac. Geez.
Oh, what do you guys think about the group chat with your buddies from 650?
Buddies from 650? I'm not quite sure what that is from George in Port Moody. Let's go to Pat in North Vancouver, who is on the line. Pat, thanks for calling in, man. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. So I'm a Habs fan, and I've been listening to the Montreal radio after the show and just thought it'd be interesting to switch over. And Montreal is going crazy about the hit, and they're all their media folks, and they're calling people or talking five games minimum for Tyler. So I thought that's just kind of an interesting... maybe scary proposition for Canuck Nation. And also, I don't know if you heard this, but Julian came out in the press conference afterwards and said that Armia has a concussion. And so, you know, he's kind of already trying to, I guess, tee up a suspension. So I just thought that's a bit interesting. And then maybe the only other thing I was just going to say is, I don't know, the games feel very strange to me. They feel like pond hockey or something. Like, I watch a lot of Montreal games. I've never seen so many, you know, two-on-ones and breakaways, and it just seems almost like preseason or something weird like that. And I wonder how much of it is actually the fact there's no fans in the stands. Like, everyone just seems really casual on defense.
Right.
So.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. We mentioned that a bit earlier, that Claude Julien said Joel Armia has a concussion. It will certainly play a part in the supplemental discipline. Expect some sort of suspension for Tyler Myers. More of the Canuck Central postgame show coming up, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. More of your calls, your text messages. Ian McIntyre will join myself, Satyar Shah, Craig McEwen on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're listening to the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show, bringing you the most Canucks coverage in BC, only on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We have a group that's maturing as we speak, and a group that takes the time to say, hey, this is not right. What we're doing so far has not been right. We haven't done it enough. We haven't done it long enough in games. It starts with players like myself that you know that have been around to come out sharp in a game like that. And when you don't, it doesn't set the tone great for your group.
The newest member of the Vancouver Canucks, one of the newest members, Nate Schmidt, not mincing words post-game after a 7-3 drubbing by the hands of the Montreal Canadiens here at Rogers Arena. This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Craig McEwen. A lot of reaction to our text inbox, 650-650, courtesy of Dunbar Lumber, and also lots of people calling in too. But on Nate Schmidt, and I know people have texted in asking questions about what we think about him. He's a guy who is very honest. And he's also a guy trying to figure out what's going on here in Vancouver. And so far, I have faith in him. I think he's going to turn it around. The fit hasn't come together.
No, and it's funny when you hear us talk about how he's trying to figure out Vancouver, but it is different to move from a team, especially one where, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights were that close to going to a Stanley Cup and handled the Canucks in the playoffs. So for him to settle in here, to get used to his teammates, now you got the revolving door of defensemen going down during games, and he's got multiple partners. But you talked before the break about the leadership and the internal group, and that to me was a very impactful statement by him. He's taking ownership. He's trying to provide that leadership, and those are the guys that the Canucks are going to have to lean on. And while his play on the ice and settling in, he's showing that he has that in him to help this team, some of the younger players right now who are struggling.
Well, and as far as Nate Schmidt goes, a very honest post-game interview from him. And here's more of Nate Schmidt, especially him talking about what it was like playing the Canucks as a member of the Vegas Golden Knights and what the experience playing with the Canucks is so far. Have a listen.
For looking from a guy that played on the other team last year and in this series, you watch a team win two playoff series and you get them and you think, man, it's going to be easy. You win a couple games, you think it's going to be easy. But this group had a lot of jam and a lot of, reaching down in between game, I think, 3 and 4 or 4 and 5, I can't remember what it was, and didn't give up on it and made it as hard as it could possibly be for when they played with Vegas to move on. It's series like that that you look at a team like this, and that's why I think the frustration is with our group, is you see how hard we can make it on teams to win. And just something that, I spoke about in the summer when I first got traded here, as something that I thought was such a positive with the group that wasn't ever going to let this go, let things like this be easy for other teams to come in and win. It's to get check a reality check on where we are as a group. But the way I look at it is we know it's there. And I think that's the reason why it's frustrating.
That's Nate Schmidt comments after 7-3 loss against the Canadiens here for the Canucks. And it's there, right? I mean, there is something here for this team. And it's different. There's no Jacob Markstrom, right? There's no Tyler Toffoli. There's no Chris Tanev. There's no Troy Stetcher. It's a different team. But the core big pieces are still here. That foundation exists. They haven't exhibited it yet this year. But it's very telling when a guy that went against this team now shows up and he was like, that's not what it was like playing you guys. Like, what happened all of a sudden?
And it's the same type of message that Travis Green talked about, how his team has forgotten maybe not how to win, but what it takes to win. Mm-hmm. Like they need that buy-in. They need that push from that group. And hey, he's spot on in his assessment. It's there for this hockey team. They have the pieces. It doesn't really matter if some of them have been swapped out for different guys. You just have to be difficult to play against.
Yeah.
Be a difficult team to get up and down the ice again, to battle in your own zone. And that just takes a will, want, and desire. Will over skill. Don Hay used to love to say that about his Giants teams here, the very good ones that won Memorial Cups and went far in the playoffs. That will over skill. Be difficult. Be hard to play against, and the results are going to go your way.
Well, they have to at this point, and you got to turn your game around. And to your point, you got to show that will, want, and desire. We haven't seen that yet.
No, you're right.
You got to show that first, and then when you show that, you start earning victories. You got to exhibit that first, and that has to happen here, and it has to happen in a hurry. I mean, the season's not over. We're 6 games in. It's 2-4, right?
Sure feels like it tonight, though.
I mean, you watch a game like this, and to the point that we're making right now, and I'm not trying to be, Mr. Doom and Gloom here, but you probably need still a few games just to get yourself on the right track to play proper hockey, and are you going to start winning games right away? How long is that going to take? Right now, C-Mac, it certainly seems like that the Canucks are already using their one bad streak early in the season.
For sure.
And that's dangerous, right? Because if you start using your one mulligan now, and it's not even a mulligan, but in theory, if you use your... Because every team can probably have one little hiccup throughout this 56-game season, as long as they play well the rest of the way and get through it. But if you use that mulligan now in the first quarter of the season, you don't have a lot of margin for error the rest of the season.
No, you don't, but... Hey, what else do the coaches have to show or prove their point or their message that they have to play differently? Or Nate Schmidt has to, or Bo Horvat, or JT Miller. Like, they're going to be like, guys, we have to wake the blank up because what we're doing isn't working.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We thought that after they lost 3-0 in Calgary when JT Miller had the not on my watch, right? Like, we got to be better pros. We get paid a lot of money to play this game. We're like, you know what, JT? I've been waiting for someone to say that, right? Like, I felt so good. I'm like, you know what? Now the Canucks are going to get going. Like, JT put his foot down. And then tonight happened, right? So it's like there's still a ways to go here. They got to piece this together, and that hasn't happened yet. A lot of reaction on a text inbox. We'll get to that. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Jake and Langley. Jake, you've been hanging on the phone line for a while, man. Thanks for hanging on. What you got for us?
It's okay, guys. I forgive you guys for keeping me on the line for so long. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
Guys. So I have a lot to talk about here. So if you guys don't mind me to ramble for a couple of minutes here.
So the first thing, I heard you guys talk about how Sutter is not one of the problems, or someone said something like that. I'm not sure which one of you guys said it, but you know what? I disagree there. I think the third...
Just one second. I don't think anybody said he's not the problem. I mean, tonight he scored a goal. Like, tonight he wasn't the problem per se, but I don't think we were defending Brandon Sutter necessarily, Jake.
Yeah, fair enough. And but I just want to say about, like, just overall, it's not even just about Sutter, but that entire third line... honestly, it's been pretty terrible this year. It's the fourth line's been okay, but the third line's been pretty terrible this year. Like, Roussel's literally doing nothing. I remember Roussel, like, he always gets in those little kind of skirmishes, and that shows that he's involved. And when he doesn't do that, you know, clearly the guy is, like, his head is not in the game. And he's a super nice guy in real life, too. So, you know, it's kind of weird seeing him kind of play this soft kind of style. But that's my first comment. Now, the second comment on the goaltending – you know, I don't think the goaltending's been, you know, terrible per se, but, like, none of the guys, Holtby or Demko, have made that big save. Like, it's just okay. And, you know, okay is good enough if you're the Washington Capitals or, you know, if you're, you know, whatever, I don't know, Colorado or something. But okay is not good enough for the Vancouver Canucks, because we cannot just have an okay goaltender. That's why losing Markstrom did hurt so much. And my third comment is on Tyler Myers. I think he should get suspended. He's been suspended three times in his career already. But I have a weird, like a weird feeling that, you know, because he's tall and, you know, it didn't look directly to his head, I have a weird feeling they're not going to call it a suspension and they'll just fine him or something. So, I don't know, man. It's a frustrating game. But, guys... it's okay. You guys are doing a great job. Better than the Canucks tonight, all right?
We'll take what we can get. Thanks for the phone call, Jake. And, you know, he does have a point in terms of sometimes the league will almost side on, hey, it's still a physical game. This guy's bigger than the other guy. Too bad it happened, but it's not a suspension. I have a hard time seeing this scenario, too. And a big reason for it, and we heard Pat call in, the Montreal fan, who says Montreal Sports Radio is losing its mind right now. They are incensed at Tyler Myers, calling for a long suspension for the hit on Joel Armia. And it gets complicated by the fact that Claude Julien went out and said, and I'm not disputing it, I mean, he's saying team doctors diagnosed Joel Armia with a concussion. So if Joel Armia has a concussion, which means he's out for at least a week per NHL protocol, he's missing a bunch of games, it's hard to envision a scenario where Myers does not get suspended.
Yeah, but for Canuck fans, let's hope that he only gets a fine.
Well, I know. Hey, judging by what some people have texted into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, they're saying good thing Myers isn't playing. So not everybody is sold, C-Mac. But I will say this, as much as you may dislike Tyler Myers, in this scenario with all the guys out for the Canucks and how porous they have been, that will be another blow to this blue line.
Agreed.
Yeah, and that's tough to take. A lot of reaction on a text inbox as well, 650-650. Here's a question. Any chance we can sign Green on a team-friendly deal now? That's Avi and East Van. Does Travis Green give a team-friendly contract because the team is off to a bad start?
I don't think Travis is negotiating right now. He's going to say, hey, yeah, you know, I wanted to get this done before the season, but maybe we'll wait a little while before we turn things in the right direction.
Sohail from Vancouver says, last year, the only reason we got far in the season was Markstrom. Now we can see how many problems he patched up. Markstrom did patch up a lot of issues for this team last season. We saw that, especially in the postseason as well. Tonight, I will say this. I mean, the last few games, last year, one of the things the Canucks did well, C-Mac for the most part, they would allow a lot of shots, but you didn't see, you know, odd man chance after odd man chance, game after game. They kind of had a style of play which was keep teams to the outside for the most part, allow shots, allow Markstrom to see it, and he's going to make saves. Now, there were breakdowns. He saved a lot of breakaways too. He did a lot of good things, right? But they played a certain way in front of him. So far this season, well, the goalies haven't bailed them out. Not that the goalies are at fault necessarily either based on how these games have gone. But this is far more porous, right? So I agree that Markstrom plugged a lot of holes. But based on what we're seeing so far this season, this team is playing nothing like the team we saw last year. Like stylistically and how they're breaking down and the type of chances and giveaways they've had so far, they're not even playing the same way they played in front of Markstrom last year.
No, they're not. And it's the quality of those chances and those opportunities, which are breakaways or tap-ins at the back door. You know, think of how many goals that have gone in this year that have been like, you know, second and third opportunities. It's not as if that they're giving up a ton of those per se. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those stretches too where one mistake and it ends up in your back of your net. They can't get out of this little circle or cycle that they're in. But bottom line, it's quality, not quantity per se. The opportunities that the teams are playing are getting are so sweet and juicy, yeah, and easy to put in that, you know, that's why they're in the hole that they are.
Based on the type of chances they've given up, I'm not sure if having two Jacob Markstrom would have helped you tonight. Like, that was so bad as far as breakdowns go and the type of giveaways. Let's welcome in Ian McIntyre into the conversation, who always joins us for the final segment of the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, our triple threat. He does digital, he does TV, he does radio, and I will open up the floor for two Irishmen to speak.
Scottish.
See, and I still messed it up.
Oh, man.
Anything to write about tonight, IMAC? Anything going on?
Yeah, there was lots. Kind of like last game, too. Was that only 24 hours ago? Surely that was longer.
In this shortened season, yeah, it feels like at least a few days ago. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, Ian, remember by the way,
just so people know, mm-hmm, we're safely distant, yes, from each other, and I really miss you, Sat. I'm about 30 feet down the Jim Robson gondola. I'm looking at Canberra because we're next to each other. So he's through the plexiglass.
Yeah.
Well, you guys can huddle up there in the radio booth.
It's kind of like the looking glass. I'm looking right through a piece of glass as well, looking at Craig McHugh, our boss. But last night, you made a really good comment, and you made a number of good comments, not just the one good comment, Ian.
Probably too many to count, I'm
yes,
sure.
Precisely. I only have 10 fingers.
Who's keeping score?
But you said, and it was true, it was too bad Canucks fans could not be at last night's game between these two teams. Tonight, however, they were spared the experience of not being here.
Yes, but there's at least 18,000 people in Metro Vancouver who are Canadians fans who,
yes,
would have loved to have seen this. Loved to have seen this tonight. It's hard to explain. In fact, it's too early for there to be a definitive explanation. And Travis Green obviously offered one post game where he talked about a young team that had some success and forgetting how hard it is to play. And I know this was a concern for the organization even before training camp and understandably so, because a lot of teams have had that experience where they have a little, especially when they're driven by young players, they have a little bit of success. Oh, we've arrived. And not just in hockey, it's probably that way in anything in life, right? The first time you strive for something, you have a little bit of reward. It's like, well, that's it. I did it. It's over. The hard part's over. And it's not like that in life. It's not like that in hockey. So I know that was a concern. I didn't think that was really going to be an issue because of the players that the Canucks have on this team, and not because of their skill, but because of their mindset, because of how focused we know and fiercely competitive Elias Pettersson is, because of how focused and competitive Quinn Hughes is. And then you look at players like, JT Miller and Bo Horvat, and Alex Edler is a warrior. Tanner Pearson's another experienced NHL guy who knows what you have to do. And then you get down to farther down the lineup and guys like Beagle and Sutter, they, I think, have this leadership group that you feel, or at least I felt, this wasn't going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. But now it is. And what I think probably is most troubling is that we just haven't seen this in the time that Travis Green has been here. That even in its first season, when the team was still pretty bad, but nominally better than by the end of the year than what it had been at the beginning from the team he inherited from Willie Desjardins, it was still always moving forward. And now, right now, for these six games, clearly it's not. But worse than that, there's just no reason when you watch them play and you take this, the six games in total, there's no real reason to think that it's they're suddenly going to start moving forward again because there's so much of their game that's off. And Markstrom, would Markstrom help? Sure. And would it help if Tyler Toffoli were scoring for them instead of the opposition? Sure. But let's remember, these haven't been close games. You know, they weren't close in Calgary. They weren't close tonight. They weren't close in the second game that they lost to Edmonton. You know, when you're talking about a goaltending downgrade from Markstrom to Holtby and Demko, which clearly it has been so far, but you're still talking about, you know, maybe it makes a goal difference, maybe a half goal difference over a couple of games. The Canucks haven't been that close for the goaltending to be the difference. They're just not close to good enough right now, and that I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, I guess if you could figure that out, you'd be behind the bench, or Travis would have you in his office.
Well, he wouldn't have me in his office. I know that.
Yeah, I guess.
If they let me behind the bench, the NHL would probably fine them about $250,000. So,
well, if they could get a few wins, it might be money well spent.
Yeah, if they could get the wins.
Interesting.
I don't think I can help them there, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure any of us, because Sat and I have been debating this for an hour plus, and we haven't come up with the answer. But Ian, Travis, you know, in his post-game press conference, used the word immature to describe his team. Who's he talking to there, and what does he mean by that?
I think it's what I just referenced, that this is a team that had not, as a team, had no real success. It had a little bit of improvement, but no achievement that was sort of concrete and they could point to and say, look, here's what we've done. Well, last year, after that summer playoff run, they had that achievement. Look what we've done. We've made the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. And, by the way, when almost nobody thought we were going to make the playoffs, we won playoff rounds, which no Canuck team had done since 2011. We came within one game of going to the conference final, which the Canucks have done only three times in 50 years. And now that team comes back after an autumn away, and what I think Travis is saying is that because they haven't had this experience, they, you know, so many of them are still at the evolutionary stage of their career. And certainly as a team, you know, there's been so little experience that they don't understand. They're still learning about, as he said, that it's just as hard to win the year after as it was the previous year.
Yeah.
But again, and I think that's all accurate. I think, yes, that's kind of what's happening, but it still doesn't fully explain just how far away they are from being that team at the moment. I mean, 28 goals against in six games. Their differential is minus 10. Only the Chicago Blackhawks have a greater disparity in goals for and against than the Canucks. And then a game like tonight, it's just some ghastly individual mistakes by their top players.
Yeah.
You know, that whiff by Nate Schmidt. I mean, we don't get the luxury in these post-game video calls of getting very deep below the surface, and we each get two questions, and so it's very limited follow-up. But I bet he hasn't made a pass like that more than once a season. And I wonder if he's ever made a pass like that in his own zone where it directly led to a goal. Maybe never. And this is a guy who's been around the league a while. I mean, Pettersson's lateral giveaway on the other shorthanded goal for Montreal. You know, Tyler Myers, and those were obviously the most glaring, you know, giveaway turnover. But Tyler Myers, who other than Schmidt is their only experienced defenseman, taking three minors early in the game. He was one of the guilty parties in that Canadiens outburst late in the second where Myers gave away the puck in his own zone and then was slow to pick up his guy. and then he, you know, gets the match penalty, not just a major, a match penalty late in the third. And even JT Miller, and, you know, I made this point with Dan Murphy post-game that, you know, Miller is such an influential, positive player for this team. But on one of the goals, I think the Josh Anderson bunt goal following up yet another freebie breakaway, you know, he just was out of gas and he let Anderson go by him. It was an unlucky play for Miller because he took the quick shot from the blue line that rebounded like it was jet propelled off of Jake Allen's pads back the other way. But he took that shot as both Quinn Hughes and Tyler Myers were moving forward into the offensive zone. You know, we saw a goal the other game where the two guys screening were Myers and Ole Ulevi. It looked like maybe Myers and Quinn Hughes were going to do that on that play. But anyways, the puck comes back the other way and Miller's near the end of his shift and now he's got a chase and he basically just couldn't chase. And Anderson skated by him and tapped it in. These are your most experienced players, and in a couple of cases with Miller and Pettersson especially, these are your best players. Mm-hmm. So if your best and most experienced players are making mistakes like that, how in the world are, you know, the kids at the bottom of the lineup, the guys on defense who were supposed to be the potential soft spot tonight for them, how are they supposed to make a difference and overcome what those guys at the top of the lineup are doing? So it's just been, well, I was going to say a long time since I've seen this. I just haven't seen it at all since Travis Green got here. They've had teams that were worse than the one right now, but I don't ever remember a spell where they just weren't close like this and they seemed a bit lost and bereft of confidence, and you wondered whether things were actually getting better. I mean, the last 3 years, I think we always felt that things were getting better. Right now, it's hard to see that.
Well, that's the thing. You got to start playing better before you start earning victories, and not even at that stage yet where they're putting together a good team game. And, you know, Ian, it's disappointing to see how this game unfolded, and you mentioned the veterans making mistakes too, and yeah, the young guys got to be better, especially Pettersson and Quinn Hughes too, and those guys. A lot has to be a lot better.
Yeah, but Pettersson, I mean, he's a young guy and he is still learning.
Yes.
But he's a focal point of this team.
And precisely.
And has been here almost since, has been that way almost since he was a rookie. So even though he's not an older player, he's one that has to lead. He has to be.
And hey, when you arrive as a superstar, expectations are higher. There is almost an obligation that you got to perform at that level. And when you don't, people question it. And that's the lot in life when you are a player of that caliber. You mentioned Travis Green. We haven't seen this from a Travis Green coach team as far as he's been here. It's a very strange season too. 56 games. Canucks have already played 6 games. There's 50 games remaining in the season. He doesn't have a contract beyond this season. He now has a 2-4 record, a team he's got to put together. Now you have injuries on defense. Tyler Myers might be suspended for a couple of games. The degree of difficulty here for Travis is pretty high, Ian, and he doesn't have much of a safety net. He's got to feel, I'm not saying he's going to lose his job or anything, but talk about pressure in a pressure-packed year for Travis Green right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was precisely why so many of us pointed out the danger of not re-signing Travis before the season began, because it adds another layer of uncertainty at a time where you would like some certainty.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean Travis would like financial certainty. I mean, as an organization, you'd like to have it clear the direction you're going so that everybody understands. And although I think Jim Benning is being completely earnest and forthright when he says, you know, he likes the job Travis done, he fully intends to re-sign him, but as of now he's not re-signed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and things might get worse before they get better. I mean, especially if they lose another defenseman for whatever reason. Well, they lost another one tonight with injury with Jalen Chatfield, but if they lose Myers as well to suspension, things get really, really difficult. And that is going to be a growing concern. And I know that Benning has felt that he can deal with it. He's fully aware what the market's like. He knows what the questions are going to be regarding his coach.
Mm-hmm.
But it still can be another level of uncertainty at a time when the team is floundering a bit and you want certainty.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are expectations still this season, right? I mean, it's not, you know, the offseason was what it was, but expectations are still that this is a playoff team. Season's not over yet. They're 2-4 on the season, but they have a long way to go to rectify what we've seen so far. Ian, always a pleasure getting you on the Canucks Central post-game show. We look forward to reading your latest on sportsnet.ca. And the great thing about this season, Ian, is not too many days between games. We're right back at it on Saturday, and we'll be talking on the post-game show again.
I hope I can be in your company, Seth. I'm going to come down the hallway and air five you.
Oh, dude, as soon as I get out of here, I'm putting my mask on, and we're going to do a very joyous distance high five that never actually touches. So I can't.
Beautiful.
Wait. Awesome.
I like all my high fives, even non-pandemic high fives.
But that's because of, you know, a lack
of
coordination. Yes, exactly. It's like Sean Bradley when he was playing basketball back
Look
in the
at day. The cast on my left wrist
yes.
and make fully informed judgments about my coordination. So.
Hey, you said it, not us, okay? Hey, Ian, always a pleasure. Great stuff as always. It's been a pleasure talking to all you. Even though the Canucks lost 7-3, can't wait for the next broadcast, which is coming up on Saturday. Canucks, Montreal Canadiens again in the end of a three-game series. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., the starting lineup will have more post-game reaction. James Sapolsky and Perry Solkowski. And Seaball is going to join me on Saturday's broadcast as well, so I can't wait for him to start talking my ear off on the pregame show and the postgame show and everybody else listening. And myself, Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker, will be right back on the program tomorrow at 4 p.m. Monday to Friday. You can listen to us on Sportsnet 650. Thanks for all your comments and the calls and the text messages. And also a big shout out to executive producer Canberra and also Lena and Josh back at Mission Control. For Sat and for Craig McEwen, this has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.